in Galatians 5, and I'm going to be doing 13 through 26 tonight. And I'm going to open this up full eyes. And see, tonight is November 6, 2018. This is Tony McCurry giving his Galatians study number 7. And I'll have one more study after this to finish up the book of Galatians. Hope that you guys get something out of it. I've learned a few things, and a lot of stuff is just rehashing it. But I just pray that we all get something out of it. If not here, that someone can hear this message in a later date and get a blessing out of it. But let's go to the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear Lord, for this day and for all the blessings you give us in it. Lord, for especially those blessings that we can't see, and Lord, especially for that you did on the cross, that shed blood that saved mankind. And Lord, we're thankful as being a member of the body of the church that we're thankful for that you did from before the foundation. Lord, we ask that you be with me, that I can dispense this message, that it be for the uplifting and edification of you and your word, and that someone within hearing range of this will get a blessing out of it. And for it's in Christ's precious name I pray. And I'm sure we all pray that that our nation can be directed in the right path, because we know that the Lord has worked with the nation's leaders in the past couple of years, and the nation needs a lot of prayer. And if it's worth being concerned about, it's worth praying about. And that's basically what I think it's our admonition as being Christians and in studying his scripture is to pray continually for those in authority and those that need a healing or comforting touch that are near and dear to us. And that's basically what I pray on a daily basis anyway. I'm going to just read through it, but Ronnie, you don't worry about that. You just post it as I go through. I'm going to read through it first, and then we'll get it into the verse study. It says, "For brethren, you have been called into liberty. Use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, and I have also told you in time past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another or envying one another." I had to read that out just to get myself in motion, I guess you say, for the study itself, because I'm splitting this chapter up. It says in 13, "For brethren, you have been called into liberty." ye only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. That ye is, it's emphatic. It's positioned in the Greek, ye brethren, as opposed to the earlier in verse 12 where it says, I wish that they were cut off that were troubling you, that's been going throughout Galatians. It's on a footing of liberty, a footing of grace. The state or condition in which ye have been called to salvation is one of liberty. Gospel liberty consists in three things. Freedom from Mosaic law, or Mosaic yoke, which is law, from sin, and from the slavish fear of the law. It says, but by love serve one another. It's to be servants, to be in bondage one to the other. If you must be servants, then be servants to one another in love. Now, free from legalism, be bound by love. The gospel proclaims, I can't even read my own writing now. The gospel proclaims restraints on the ceremonial law, but binds them still further to the moral law. In the New Literal Translation, it reads, for ye have been called to live in freedom. My brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. How many times can you say you've seen in your lifetime where those in authority, whether it be in a church or just have authority positions, have you misused their authority? Paul is expressing to the Galatians to enjoy the graces of Christ's forgiveness and to enjoy life without the law. Mentioned earlier in verse 1, it says, stand therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled with the yoke of bondage. Just because you've been free from sins by grace doesn't mean you won't be held accountable for your reward in the resurrection. We don't want to be found an ashamed workman. And in 14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So that's the whole law, namely the Mosaic law, all 613 laws. Love to God is presupposed as a root from which love to our neighbor springs. Now this neighbor is not necessarily the guy that lives next to you, but this neighbor is mankind. Somebody that you come in contact with at work or on the street or while you're shopping or the such. For the law is fulfilled, not as received as being fulfilled, but as the oldest manuscripts read, has been fulfilled, and so receives its full perfection. As rudimentary teachings are fulfilled by the mere perfect doctrine, the law only united Israelites together. The gospel unites all men, and that in relation to God through Christ's perfect sacrifice on the cross. In Romans 13:8-10, where we're looking at fulfilling the law, loveth another, has the same tone to the audience as here in Galatians. Romans and Galatians have a lot in common. Paul repeats himself in more detail in Romans than he does here in Galatians, the same way he does in Colossians compared to Ephesians. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill. And he goes on and mentions a few of the Ten Commandments. And at the end of 9 it says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. In Leviticus 19:18, where the love comes in, thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So this goes all the way back to Leviticus. And then we look in Christ's own words, and Matthew and John. In Matthew 22:36-40, they ask, say, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? The greatest commandment in the law. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. And this is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. We also have Christ in John 13:34, where Christ gives a new commandment. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Love thy neighbor as thyself. When looking at the opposite of love, we almost always say it's hate. I've said it before, and you just automatically go into that thought process. The opposite of love is hate. But when you look at the larger scope of love, what love don't entail, it can be said the opposite of love is self-centeredness. To truly love thy neighbor is to be totally selfless. In verse 15, but if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed or destroyed one of another. Throughout Scripture and modern times, this takes place when the fleshly nature is displayed in mankind. Man has been proven to be cruel in every sense of the word. Some examples of the character of fleshly behavior associated with devour one another, we can relate these to the attitude or character of fleshly man. Can leave terrible consequences. Consequences we can relate here today with the attitude of people getting caught up in either social media or in the political arena with the stuff we see on the news and with Antifa just hurting as many people as they can just to get their way. To the people, they don't even have a clue as to who they are, the ones that they're harming. They don't even have a clue as to who they are. But they get emotional to the point of killing or brawling, fighting or cursing, creating a situation that needed not to happen. Paul had knowledge of the Galatians' brawling behavior and gave them admonitions here to not to be consumed. That's analisko, to destroy. It's used three times, and each time is to destroy. In 2 Thessalonians, Paul gives a revelation of the coming of Christ. against the ungodly that works the spirit of iniquity. And 2 Thessalonians 2:8, and then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume, with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Just the brightness of his coming is going to destroy all his enemies at that point. In verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Paul giving direction as to the way they should live, a Christian-like lifestyle. Repeating, in other words, and explaining his sentiment in 5:13, he says what he means is this: walk by the rule of the Holy Spirit. And the flesh, the natural man, one of which flow the evils specified in 19-21 that we get into shortly. The spirit and the flesh mutually exclude one another. It is promised not that we should have no evil lust, but that we should not fulfill them. In the spirit that is in us, can be at ease under sin. It is not a spirit that comes from the Holy Spirit. In verse 17, for the flesh lusts or set its desires against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would, or that you would delight in. The reason why walking in by the Spirit will exclude fulfilling the lust of the flesh, namely, the mutual opposition to each other, it has gone on from the first offspring of Adam until today. When comparing the oppositions, Christ used them as fruit in Matthew 7:15-20. It says, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. So he's comparing people to trees, and fruit as to the works. But corrupt tree bring forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into fire. This is a revelation. We done lost Ronnie. So that's why we can't rely on his recording. Oh, this is so funny. It says, wherefore by their fruits shall you know them. So Christ is telling his people that he's using this as an example. The spirit strives against the flesh and its evil influence. The flesh against the spirit and his good or righteous influence, so that neither one nor the other can be fully carried into action. Where the Spirit prevails, the issue of a struggle of sin and punishment of law no longer continues doubtful. Ye are not under the law, in 18. The Greek is that ye may not do the things that ye would. The flesh and the spirit contrary one to the other, so that you must distinguish what proceeds from the spirit and wait for the flesh, and you must not fulfill that ye desire according to the carnal self, but what the spirit within you desires. It's a constant battle. We associate it with the old man that we battle with on a daily basis. It's something that body members struggle with. It's something that everybody deals with on a daily basis. None of us are perfect, but we're led by the Spirit to control those angers, control those emotions before they get into a ravenous state. Spirit against the flesh. You have Cain and Abel is the first example of good worship and fleshly desires. In the previous chapter, Paul gives an example of the bondwoman and the free woman, Hagar and Sarah, and their sons in opposition to each other in Galatians 4:29. But as then as he was born of the flesh, Ishmael persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, Isaac. Well, Ishmael was 13 years old, and Isaac had just been weaned from his mom. So it's just Ishmael just being a big old bully, and Isaac was just a little toddler. I mean, there's no comparison. But therein lies the problem, is the contentious that was brought between them. Today's comparison of political members that support two totally different views, one leans more to Scripture and the other more to the flesh. Conservative Christians and today liberal anti-mongrels, there's always contention between the flesh and the Spirit. What are we directed to do? Ephesians 4 22:32 gives direction for today's body member. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Now that's in the appendix 128:2-2. It's hamartima. It's the actual sin. Malice is the actual sin. And it's the evil principle in action. The sinful act or deed. I know I've said before that put away from you with all malice in creating an anger within yourself to make sure it don't happen. But that's not the way the Scripture reads. It says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away with you with all. That is, malice entails the whole groupings. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Then we get to verse 18. But if you be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. See, God, we can go back to Galatians 4:6, because he says, God hath put forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts. Paul was telling that to the Galatians. So now he's telling the Galatians, if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law, because they have the Spirit in their hearts. He said so in chapter 4. Ye are not under the law, for ye are not working the works of the flesh, which bring one under the law. Again, we go to Romans. So you see, Paul gives a more definite statement when comparing Scriptures. Romans 8, 1 and 2. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. The Spirit makes free from the law of sin and death, the law made for a fleshly man and for the works of the flesh. Now we go to scripture for the day in 1 Timothy 1:9. Know this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly, for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers and manslayers, not for the righteous man. Now we get back to verse 19 in Galatians 5. Now the works of the flesh, and I'm going to go through 21, Ronnie. Now the works of the flesh which are manifest, which are these? Adultery. We know what adultery is. Fornication, which is incest. Uncleanliness. Lasciviousness, which is offensive or sexual desires. Idolatry. Witchcraft. Was magic, sorcering, and casting of spells. Hatred. Variance, which is contention. Emulations, which is jealousy and envy. Wrath. Strife, which is contention. Seditions, which is divisions. Heresies, which is being part of dissension. Disunion, I'm sorry, being part of disunion. Then envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, which is brawling, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, they that which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Or in Rotherham, it says, in God's kingdom. Paul knew the Galatians were true heathenistic Gentiles by nature, which leads for these fleshly attributes. Remember, as I said before, the opposite of love is self-centeredness. You can associate self-centeredness with each and every one of those 17 works of the flesh that were mentioned in these three verses. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. There's nine here. Against such there is no law. Nine is the number for judgment. So if you're walking by the Spirit, you're not judged, correct? Because you're walking righteously. So judgment don't even come into play for these nine spiritual fruit of the Spirit. With the attributes you don't see, with these attributes you don't see selfish, but yet you can see selfless, to where you're more helping to one another or loving one another. In verse 24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. In the New Leonard Translation, NLT. I probably got that wrong. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to His cross and crucified them there. Wow. That's about as plain as you can get it. They nailed it to the cross once for all when they became Christ's. On believing, so that the Spirit can produce in them, comparatively uninterrupted by it, the fruit of the Spirit, man, by faith is dead to the former standing point of a sinful life, and rises to a new life of communion for being one with Christ. Remember in Colossians 3:3, for ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. The act by which they have crucified the flesh with its lust is already accomplished. But the practice of outward works of the character of him or the person must harmonize with the tendency given toward inward life, with the fruit of the Spirit. We are to be executioners dealing cruelty with the body of sin. In Ephesians 4:30-32, where we are to grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. This is a body member. This ain't for Galatians. This is for truth for today. Whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and clamor, bitterness, wrath, and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We can also look back into Galatians 2, where Paul was talking about the law. In Galatians 2:19-21, if I can read my own writing here, for through the law, and I am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. And then 25 and 26. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us be not desirous of vainglory, provoking one another or envying one another. You know what? Being born of the flesh, as we all are, it's natural for man to easily fall into his sinful nature. By walking in the Spirit of our Lord and Savior, His Spirit that He gave us, it's easier to fend off the desires of the flesh by holding Christ, our head, and our conscience continually. That's my study for today, guys. Thank you for your time. And I love each and every one of you. I love my wife sitting here next to me. And when you study this message, you can't help but have a little more love for other people. And that's one of the main reasons, or actually the main reason, that I got into the fruit of the Spirit study that I'll be getting back into when I get through with Galatians. But thank you all, and dear Heavenly Father, let's close this message. We thank you, dear Lord, for this day, and for what every person here means to me, and I'm sure we mean for each other. Lord, we thank you for that you did in giving us your Spirit, that we can have it on us, in us, continually. We have the Spirit. We don't have to go to a brick and mortar building to receive the Spirit. Lord, we know that you gave it to us the moment that we believe. For it's in all these things we ask that you be with us, lead, guide, and protect us all. For it's in Christ's precious name I pray. Amen.